In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I would like to first begin by giving a special thanks to the Honorable Mensa Lewis Farrakhan and to the Executive Council for allowing me the opportunity to speak on something that is very near and dear to my heart and something that I'm very intimately familiar with regarding viral infection and antiviral defense. So without further ado, due to time restraints, I would like to share my screen and begin the presentation. So today I will be talking about interferon, mechanisms of viral replication inhibition, and the impact on novel coronavirus pathogenesis. So it's important to understand in any mechanistic situation, you have to understand viral and pathogenic infection and how mechanisms are upregulated and downregulated to impact certain processes as the infection occurs. So here I have a simplistic view of the novel coronavirus as it infects a cell and certain viral components that are made. And this is important to understand because as I get into the mechanisms, I want you all to recall this picture because interferon inhibits certain viral replications involved in certain steps. One of those steps, and I'll bring your attention to as hopefully you can see this red circle. And if not, then I'll bring my laser pointer out because this is a lecture. What you see here are transcripts of what the actual virus itself brings into the cell. Once the viral component is broken down and the cell actually brings it in, that process is called invasion. There is an uncoating process that then occurs, which allows the viral component to then enter the cell. And something that I want to bring notice to is that the SARS-CoV-2 virus is something known as a RNA virus, one of the biggest RNA viruses that we have in the family of viruses, which makes the interferon pathway and inhibition very key for this infection. Because what we see here is that the viral uncoats and allows for its single-stranded RNA to be released, and the cell, unable to tell whether self or non-self, simply does one thing. It sees the transcript and it translates all transcripts into the protein that the transcript or the message intended to be translated. Here we have N representing the nucleocapsid. We have S being spike for the spike of the coronavirus. We have M representing the membrane. We have E representing the envelope. And again, the idea is that when a virus invades, it has to reassemble itself to create a new mature virion to infect other cells. Interferon has a very interesting ability to inhibit and degrade, well, once upregulating certain interferon pathways, these transcripts right here so that the reformation of other viral particles never occur. So in essence, the interferon inhibits replication of the virus in the cell that's infected itself. We'll get further into that presentation. But before we do that, what is an interferon? Well, discovered in 1957, it was coined interferon due to its ability to interfere with viral replication, hence interferon. Interferons are small cytokines in the innate immunity response pathway. And this is important to understand that before you could get to adaptive immunity, as far as the immune system recalling an infection to fight later on, there is a rapid response to a pathogen known as innate immunity response, which interferon is intimately involved in, that is secreted by cells in the response to a virus and other foreign substances, such as pathogen. The infection stimulates the infected cells to secrete interferons and produce interferon proteins that prevent the virus from replicating itself. This initiates what is known as cell suicide, as in the scientific community, we call it apoptosis, programmed cell death, therefore protecting other cells that are healthy from being infected from that which it was infected of the pathogen itself. And here, I love this picture because it shows the coronavirus interacting with two different subtypes of interferon, which is the two-dimensional pictures that you see of interferon to your left and to the right interacting with the coronavirus in the middle. So interferon, so that we are clear, isn't a simple molecule. In fact, there are subtypes of interferon broken down into different categories. And this is important due to later in the conversation where I will tell you where certain subtypes actually involve themselves in different pathogenesis stages of COVID-19. But you have type 1 interferon, which includes your interferon alpha and beta. So, you know, many of you have heard interferon alpha and beta throughout the entire time during the pandemic. And this is what we're referring to, type 1 interferons. However, there are type 2 interferons as well, gamma. There are type 3, lambda. These two are also important as we start to get into the process and the mechanisms that are upregulated. So, without to inundate, and again, I'm a human geneticist, so forgive my bias regarding pathways, but I love teaching pathways and mechanisms. But I want to draw your attention, where you see the two red circles, I want to draw your attention to interferon alpha and beta receptors and interferon lambda receptors, where you see type 1 alpha and beta, as I previously discussed, and type 3 interferon lambdas. They upregulate and bind to these receptors, okay? The cascade reaction, or the pathways that are then, or genes that are upregulated after the receptors are bound to, it initiates something called the interferon stimulating response elements, okay? As you see with the red pointed down here, ISRE, interferon stimulating response elements. So consider interferon, the molecule, binding to the receptor, and from that signals the reaction within the cell to upregulate genes that are specific for antiviral infection. Now keep your eyes on ISRE because I'm gonna take you deeper into the pathway, into a pathway that I study intimately for prostate cancer development itself. So we have ISRE here. ISRE specifically, interferon stimulating response element, specifically upregulates something known as OAS1 in the RNA cell pathway. Together, this pathway is what we would consider the last of the Mohicans. It's the last of the antiviral defense mechanism because it is this pathway, once regulated and not regulated, the cell has no chance of surviving. And the reason being is because by this time, the cell had already given a signal, or a signal was given to the cell that it is infected and it must not infect other healthy cells around it. So we stop the infection here. We stop the virus here, or pathogen here. And then the cell goes through a stage called apoptosis, cell program, cell death, allowing for healthy cells to be spared the infection. However, OAS1 then activates something known as RNA cell. RNA cell is the actual molecule that cleaves RNA. This is what we see here. So the simple picture is that once a virus infects, interferon is released, interferon upregulates the pathway, ISRE upregulates OAS1, you have active RNA cell that cleaves RNA. Now the beauty about this pathway is that there is no specific RNA that RNA cell cares to cleave or degrade. In fact, all self and non-self becomes targets of RNA cell. Why is that important? Because in understanding cell death or programmed cell death, the idea is that the cellular mechanics of survival cannot survive. In order to stop infection of other cells, all cellular mechanics has to cease at this point. So our active RNA cell degrades and destroys single-stranded RNA. Where have we seen that before? From viruses such as the novel coronavirus or SARS-CoV-2, right? Viral mRNA, right? Because after a single-strand RNA is then synthesized, a message from that transcribed RNA is then made before you can get to a translation of a protein. That's what you have here. mRNA is degraded as well. Cellular mRNA, rRNA, known as ribosomal RNA. Now we're starting to get into RNA that actually sits within a cell for maintaining integrity, maintaining normal biology of a cell. All of it's degraded. And then we get down to the elimination of the virus-infected cell by apoptosis, as I told you, with cell program death. So I took the liberty in compiling several studies because, again, what is the point of hearing interferon as far as just simple anecdotal tales of what it does to an individual or to certain symptoms when you can't express it in a laboratory setting either outside of the body in vitro, inside of a system in vivo, or clinical inside of a human subject. So what I have compiled here are several studies, epidemiological, which are studies to investigate disease phenotype within a population, in vitro, cell work that's done outside of the body, cell cultures to understand mechanisms, and some clinical studies that show and prove the possibilities and probabilities and effect of safety and efficacy of interferon and the subtypes being used to stop and inhibit viral replication during pathogenesis of COVID-19. So I'll begin by an epidemiological study. Out of 2,244 critically ill patients with COVID-19 from 208 UK intensive care units, what they saw was a common constant low expression of interferon receptor in association with life-threatening disease. Data suggests that administration of interferon may reduce the probability of critical illness in COVID-19, and the genetic effect may mediate during the early phases of disease when the viral load is high. Now, why does this make sense? Because just as I previously discussed regarding the pathway, virus and viral load during the viral infection stages, the cell senses it. The cell can identify that it's being under attack where viral load is high. So the single-strand, double-stranded RNA are the triggers that goes off for the RNA cell pathway to then activate to destroy and degrade RNA within the cell to send it to apoptosis, which makes sense. So the mere fact that interferon receptors are lowly expressed through individuals that are critically ill shows a situation wherein the innate immunity response pathway seems to be retarded and or compromised from the ability to not recognize the double-stranded RNA load as quickly as it needs to degrade it. Therefore, externally giving interferon to something that is critically expressed at low levels will artificially induce and increase interferon receptor expression. Another study, in vitro, right? Cell cultures. Mantlow and colleagues demonstrated that SARS-CoV-2 replication is inhibited by interferon alpha and interferon beta at concentrations that are clinically achievable in patients. Therefore, some of these drugs may have the potential to be repurposed to the treatment of COVID-19 either alone or in combination with other antiviral therapies. Now, it's important to understand when one uses the term repurposed, we have to understand that we're talking about interferon in the aspect that it may be new to you as in the lay person. But regarding what it has been used for in the scientific community, we have known about interferon for ages. We've used it for many other viral infections. We've used it for West Nile virus infection. We've used it for hepatitis viral infections. So the safety and efficacy regarding interferon treatment for many other viruses has all already been underway, and protocols have already been enhanced and used. So the idea that one would argue and say that interferon hasn't been studied clinically enough to even be used in a pandemic sense, well, if you're using a vaccine that hasn't had much clinical backing, then it was seen that interferon having a safety protocol already in hand may be something that you should already be leaning towards. And the scientific community agrees, which is why I am sharing these recent publications. So let's talk about clinical trials. We have the clinical trial out of Hubei, China, which was talked about a lot, shows interferon alpha 2 beta was associated with better responses than were these antiviral drugs that were used. Although randomized controlled trials are still needed to evaluate the clinical trial efficacy of interferon in treating COVID-19 patients, data shows that among severe to critical COVID-19 patients, early treatment with interferon was associated with reduced in-hospital mortality. To actually draw on the idea that more clinical trials or randomized controlled trials need to be done, here was another study that was done recently. Clinical study design, a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled phase 2 pilot trial out of 9 UK sites, adults aged 18 years old and admitted to hospital with COVID-19 symptoms. Patients who received, now this is a different subtype. Now for the time that I've been speaking, we were talking about interferon alpha. Here we're talking about interferon beta, had greater odds of improvement and recovered more rapidly from SARS-CoV-2 infection than patients who received placebo, providing a strong rationale for further trials. So again, it seems that all data supports and scientists are motioning towards more clinical trials being used or being done and performed for interferon and different subtypes for the clinical pathological features of COVID-19 and the pathogenic stages of infection. So what I decided to do was compile a table for you to look at in your leisure. If you want to take a snapshot of this, please do so. But these are what was found as far as the interferon subtypes and the effects that it has on the different clinical pathological stages of infection. So type one, if you could recall back in, you know, early in the presentation, interferon alpha is a subtype, but its effect has the relief of symptoms, shorten disease duration, reduce period of viral flaking. Now, viral flaking is very important here because this is also synonymous with the term viral shedding. So again, if you're not familiar with viral shedding, then to think of something like herpes, right? Herpes is indeed a viral infection that, although for most of the time, for those that present or seem to be in remission of the actual features of the disease, that actually doesn't stop viral shedding of herpes in the saliva. Therefore, what this is also stating is that interferon type 1 alpha has the ability to inhibit and reduce viral shedding in non-symptomatic individuals. Because again, this is the issue that we're having, right? For non-symptomatic individuals, presenting with the symptoms may not be seen. However, viral shedding may still be there. Therefore, they may still have the ability to transmit the disease to someone else or transmit the virus to someone else. Therefore, interferon alpha has shown great effects regarding that. Interferon beta enhanced ARD's difficulties due to the mere fact of interferon beta being involved in pro-inflammatory responses. However, used in early stages of infection, which is key here, it inhibits viral replication, upregulates lung antiviral defenses, improves recovery, and declines mortality rate. Type 2, now interferon gamma. These cells are specific regarding what cells actually produce these type of interferons. They are only natural killer T cells and T lymphocytes. They're what we would call specialized white blood cells. However, interferon gamma has also been investigated to stimulate cytokine expression, improve immune response, expands the destruction of CTL, restricting viral replication, which is key. Again, all interferons has the ability to inhibit viral replication and distribution. What's most interesting is that type 3. Now, mind you, if you go back into the presentation, type 3 interferons and type 1 interferons upregulate the same pathway. So we're talking about OS1 RNA cell. Type 3 interferon lambda has the ability to, of course, it's antiviral immunity in the respiratory tract, induces several antiviral genes in epithelial cells, control viral infections in epithelial cells of both respiratory and gastrointestinal. This is very intriguing because if you recall, one of the main issues with COVID-19 is that it is a multi-organ disease. It has the ability, as long as a cell has the ability to express ACE2 receptor, the virus has the ability to infect. So most individuals actually provided symptoms or phenotypes that were not like each other, but guess what was one of the symptoms? Gastrointestinal disorder and or dysfunction. So apparently interferon lambda has the ability to increase antiviral immunity in gastrointestinal cells that lines the tract. And actually more studies on interferon lambda is being done as well, because again, it has the ability to not only provide that for the gastrointestinal tract, but also respiratory tract. So summary, interferon is secreted by cytokine effectors. One cell undergoes trauma from a foreign pathogen. We talked about that. Interferon is released specifically type 1 and type 3 to upregulate the antiviral pathway known as OAS1 RNA cell. This pathway, once activated, initiates cell death to protect other healthy cells from being infected. There's current research showing positive effects using interferon type 1 and type 3 in vitro and in vivo. Interferon used for treatment in a novel coronavirus is widely being investigated for clinical use, as I presented. All data, anecdotal and scientific, supports when properly used at certain low titrated doses and earlier on an infection, interferon is effective, safe, and deserves to be used for the current pandemic and treatment. And I'll end the presentation by saying there is no profit in curing the body if, and in the process, we destroy the soul. May Allah be with us. And I end this presentation as I greeted you with the words of peace of paradise of assalamu alaikum. Thank you.